So essentially, you've got communism light in Britain, an open season on anybody who owns anything. And this is to flatten you out, steal from you into nothingness, so that eventually, with this debt base collapse and the spike in interest rates, most people will be ward of state in terms of their financials. And potentially, job losses will be immense as well. So this is what I fear. And this is going to lead to a rate spike. Debt is over as an instrument, as per our call of 2020 in September.
Francis Hunt, the market sniper. How are you today, my friend?
Glad to be back with you, Andy. How's life treating you?
All things considered, we're doing well, all things considered. But it's an interesting and frightening time, I'm afraid, that we live in. Let's start with that. Give me your view of the world as we are right now on August 21st. What are your models saying? And I know you've been beating just beating that platform, and I'm afraid you're becoming right, but let's just talk about it. Where are we at?
Yeah, well, there's so many layers to modeling the world as we see it. There can be an opinion on a half-hour chart or a four-hour chart where we might be wrong on, say, gold or silver for short-term moves. And then there's the grand macro in terms of the direction that we are taking and where that ends and how that is progressing. And I wish to be more wrong there, because we set a very low bar of expectation for the quality of life for future retail people and everyday man in the streets category of people. We're in a debt-based collapse. The United Kingdom has pushed itself to the front of that queue now, almost ahead of America, with recent interest rates developments and an extreme socialist far left group of "we haven't tried communism yet" type people who are now going to continue to tax. That's not to say that the Conservative Party on supposedly the center right or any more serious, but when you have a World Economic Forum member as your prime minister, as is the case with many nations, by the way, they will bring about the global communism that is desired. And the manner in which they do that is to crash the existing system under the banner of capitalism, which it surely is not. It's a kleptocracy with two-tier judgment, two-tier financing, two-tier everything. They will bring about a crash that will make everybody reliant on state, and thereby they will dictate the terms by which the statists will engage with you, very much with the whip handle in their hand and you on the receiving end. And this continues to accelerate. A silly news example is Elon's not doing his third political party and is likely to back Vance for the following. That is Peter Thiel's little protege, political protege that he's funded. Don't forget Thiel and Musk were PayPal. Don't forget to get involved in a payment business, which involves the cooperation of all the major banking licenses across most nations and the central banks. You have to be cleared for that level of business development, let's just say. And Thiel, Musk are clearly front men for the cartel. Musk, of course, being this amazing entrepreneur that juggles about, probably in the low teens numbers of businesses, allegedly, while tweeting from his account about a car he's got floating in space somewhere. This is the theater, the political theater that we're being put up. We're also getting the space psyop being set up with, hell bent on crashing into Earth type narrative from Loeb in Harvard. So we've got all sorts of funny seedings. It seems they've run out of pandemics. They might go a different route. I'm suffering from fatigue of BS, statist BS, manipulation, totalitarian tiptoe, as David Icke described it, to use his phrase. And I think, we are shuffling very steadily on, the debt-based crash, I mean, just to show you, let's just bring it back to markets and charts, because we can shoot the breeze about the criminals and all their various forms of ruses and how they'll be going about it. But actually, there are opportunities, and I'd prefer to focus a little bit more on that. And shorting the British market, debt market, is certainly one of them. This particular chart, by the way, is the 20-year in the UK, which is in the 20-year and the 30-year are roughly splitting the average mortgage rate. And we are calling for 7.57%. Oh. Don't forget, as recently as here, you were at 4.2. That was in and around the same time last year, in August. And this spike high was enough to throw a prime minister and a finance minister out, only for this now left-wing statist, totally in tax scavenge mode, which is a personal phrase of ours that we're going to certainly patent, which is the complete hyena mode for taxation and squeezing the middle classes into submission. And in fact, between 100 and 125,000 pounds, which is kind of mid Britain, they only receive 38 pounds for every 100 pound earned. So the net income you get for finishing on 125, that marginal level of 100 to 125. And when you see the cost of living, it's actually not much of a salary. I mean, there'll be some people saying, I wish I was earning that, and I respect that. They'll be younger than us. But in actual fact, meaningfully in central London, this is not even upper middle class, I would say. It's very middle, and some might even say lower. So that's unbelievable tax rates. And of course, they're going to be doing a budget where they hope to increase the taxation on primary homes, which used to be tax exempt once you'd shown that it was a primary home that you were living in, it as part of a, call it a wealth tax stroke capital gain on whatever. And I also made the key point that it's not actually a capital gain, because they've debased the pound as they have debased all fiats. And the true debasement is reflected by gold. And in actual fact, I would put it forward that the London property market probably tapped out in the subprime 2006-2007 when divided by gold ounces, and we can actually do the chart on that if you were so interested. But the point is, this is a break. You get a break and then you feign back in. Then you made the first interim target, that's that dotted line, and you normally rest after making a target. So you've kind of been in a bit of a stall box here, and It's our expectation that the next move will take us through there. Then again, you'll probably have some pause, and everybody will forget about it, only for us to run 7.5, which will be very severe debt-based collapse. And let's also point out that the IMF used 10% of its funding in the bailout of the UK, very humiliating, with a Labour government, of course, which are stuffed with descendants of Bolsheviks, of which Miliband is one. His father was a Bolshevik communist. So essentially, you've got communism light in Britain, an open season on anybody who owns anything. And this is to flatten you out, steal from you into nothingness, so that eventually with this debt-based collapse and the spike in interest rates, most people will be ward of state in terms of their financials. And potentially job losses will be immense as well. So this is what I fear, and this is going to lead to a rate spike. Debt is over as an instrument as per our call of 2020 in September. It was never a reserve asset. It was maintained with small capital gains over a 40-year period on a descending yield in an environment where we had the benefit of globalization that allowed it to be masquerade in a shape-shifty kind of way as a reserve asset that allowed for the petrodollar since the 70s that Kissinger got in to run us all the way through to 2020. Where they abused it to such a degree that the busted flush is over. The governments can't afford their interest rate payments. It's one of their biggest line items now. It's about to get higher, as we're indicating, and that is being paid to a cartel of bankers that were given the exorbitant privilege of issuing the country's money. Hence why you know they so want to flip Iran and ensure that they have a central bank. They become the lucky winners of exported democracy and a central bank, which is this privately owned company that has this unique privilege of being the one to issue the currency of a nation and put all its citizens immediately on hock for the debt, and then subsequently overspend, which creates inflation, expands debt, and then say, hey, you owe us. This is loan sharking done on an industrially high level scale by co-opted politicians that are compromised through blackmail in many, any number of ways.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, absolutely. And I also might want to comment to all my viewers and listeners, I'm glad you led with this chart. That is a beautiful, scary chart. What we're looking at, correct me if I'm wrong, Francis, is we're looking at, it's really the spike of interest rates. As interest rates goes up, the value of the bond, and we're looking at the UK 20-year government debt, that goes down. But the issue really is how can a, with these spiking rates here, how does a economy function or survive if it doesn't really, correct me if I'm wrong. The question is, how does economy really function and survive with interest rates? And it's not only spiking, but being elevated to where they are at, as well as where they're going, a debt-based economy, that is, which is what we have around the world.
We don't, you don't survive. I use quite simple analogies. I'll give you two of my favorites. If you put your hand through a narrow jar with a whole bunch of sweets in it and you try to seize all the sweets, so as the cycle goes down and interest rates were going lower, you can get your hand through the tight bottleneck of the jar, and then you grab with your fist in pure greed so many sweets and then try pull your hand out. You won't be able to get the claw full back out, on the basis that we loaded up on debt on the way down when it was affordable and cheap, and the cheaper it got, the more we loaded up on it, with the everybody knowing that when the cycle eventually turns, which it would, and the debt value start to go down and the rates start to go back up, the unaffordability of said rates would occur. Everyone could see it ended here, that has a modicum of economic awareness, and we just needed the final fake narrative and economic event to create a surge in the lending to push us in a very, very clear-cut way across the line of affordability. And we crossed that line of affordability, and Yellen very much signed off with after me the storm, kind of like Louis XV, you better bring in emergency measures right away. Hence all the huff and puff about doggy that never was, or not to any meaningful degree. And now Elon will be a Republican again, pushing the vice president at the end of Trump's term, who is Palantir's boy, which has got a lot of government contracts and had an unbelievable year this year, although it's selling off now. So the statists are winning. We can't afford it. The other thing is, it's kind of like escaping from everybody's favorite movie, The Shawshank Redemption. There's no way you get freedom. I don't think for us it's going to be freedom, but there's no way you get out of the current jail. I think we end up in a worse jail at the end, but you have to go through the shit pipe. And that was the Andy Dufresne's journey of hell, that at least he got to kneel in the river, in the rain, in the storm, while breaking the pipe open during lightning strikes, after all those years of digging and carrying out sand tirelessly to eventually get his freedom. We will go through that form of event, and it will hurt. And that's, it's also going to be totalitarianism. That's why they are getting in, all slipping in all this grid, trying to curtail movement, martial law, lockdowns, curfews, all forms of things when people get angry are going to occur. Don't forget, they've been bringing in fighting age males without any sense of family, no woman, no children, into Europe and America, the West particularly, during this period. And when their welfare gets switched off, I wonder how and why their parcels are waiting these people, and what kind of parcels that the military industrial complex has provided, the MOD in Britain, why that would be happening. Are these people being prepared to become some sort of UN white hats or blue hats? Or will there be, you know, citizen riotry, rent a crowd? I don't know, but I don't like the smell of anything in that. And that's quite a reset-y type topic. So bringing it back to the markets, the debt markets will have to jubilee out and fail. The Shemitah is definitely on. There's no avoiding it. And there's a day of reckoning. And the bankers believe it's owed to them. Don't forget, they were given this exorbitant privilege. They sat back and they sucked up all those interest payments. And now they're getting lots of interest payments. And they should be paid until the last day and then seize the collateral, which is actually you. You are the tax income streams and your own things that you believe you own. Remember, property, you pay property taxes. So if you really owned it in full, why would you still be paying some form of a rental to other people? So I fear for us in terms of, funny, that essay that came out by a young Danish girl that happened to be all about owning nothing and being happy, and how, don't worry, your rentier society will just be perfect. You don't have to worry where everything is. There'll be a car when you need it. There's an app for that, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a dangerous trajectory, and I'm afraid everything that keeps happening shows me that there's insufficient number of people that truly understand that Elon Musk, Donald Trump, you didn't just vote white, right? The good guys aren't on your team. They are uploading the digital surveillance under the right-wing banner that as part of the reaction to the problem that the left-wing brought all the immigrants in for, and they're both working together like one ping-pong bat hits a ball to another one, and you're sitting bouncing in between and going red bat, blue bat, red bat, blue bat, you know, like an idiot. And I'm afraid the world is made up with too many idiots. I've also have fatigue for explaining patently obvious things to people that think they voted themselves freedom and they should be sticking to the plan and Donald Trump's their guy and all of this. So, you know, we are where we are because there are enough stupid people that aren't reacting and aren't doing enough to undermine the likes of Blackstone and BlackRock, which will be there, don't worry, UK people, to help buy your property at that super low price after the rates have spiked, after everything has crashed, when you're desperate to get out and you're now in negative equity and you're going to end up with a ball and chain paying off some bank forever and in a day and not owning a home anymore. Don't worry, BlackRock and Blackstone will be there to buy your property and rent it back to you at a market-related rate, which will definitely take inflation into account, which they and their friends have helped bring about. So inflation is a weapon, and we're about to go into the accelerated version of the weapon. Sometimes, you know, there can be a stick and you can be tapped on the calves to move on by a teacher at school, and sometimes you're going to get an absolute thrashing where you deemed. We're getting into the absolute thrashing. The inflationary stick is an absolute thrashing. It's going to come hard and heavy, and it's going to be brutal. People's cost of livings are absolutely going to spike. They already are spiking. We mention regularly the Walmart till slip and the lady that entered the same item she found of the till slip in 2020 and put each item basket for into each basket and checked what the checkout would be, same weight, same brand, same everything, 134% up in 5 years since 2020. So that's quite some inflation. That's quite some achievement. And that's the currency debasement that goes hand in hand with the debt debasement. As I always explain, these are two Siamese twins joined by the head. You can't drown one baby without drowning the other. The debt debasement is the fiat debasement. The fiat debasement is the debt debasement. You keep proliferating debt, you keep proliferating fiat, and you keep destroying currencies' buying power. And people just don't understand that. They're sitting there on a notional value going, oh, isn't the stock market amazing, at a notional high? It turned in gold ounces in 2021. It's underperforming, actually, chronically. But people go, oh, new highs there, new highs there, everywhere. This has been a recessionary economy since, in and out of recession multiple times, since we first met the criteria for a recession and they lied about how strong the labor market is, only for month-to-month revisions, end-of-year revisions, and then end-of-previous next year's revisions actually to show that most of the statistics that you were given on non-farm payrolls grossly over represented it, and you were probably in a recession. No one has admitted it in the Fed. No one has admitted that Yellen lied and that you can't redefine this. And they shut up all questions being that were asked about it being a recession after two negative quarters. Well, you have been bumping in and out of a recession. That's why the housing market is slowing down. And it's slowing down on fiat debasement. The dollar versus all the other debasing fiats has fallen huge percentages. In fact, I've got a chart of its performance against a couple others that I'll bring up. I'll share.
Let's see it. I want to make a comment on everything that you just said. And again, that was well done, is what I would say to you. But some anecdotal evidence to what you just said. I remember when that tragedy happened in Hawaii with the fire. That just came in that coming out now. And I thought so at the time as well. That was just a land grab. You mentioned, BlackRock will come and take your house and then lease it back to you or rent it back to you at a fair market value. That's what, in my mind, that's what happened in Hawaii. So we're having that starting to happen here, if you would. And then on the inflation, I just look at, I'm a father, I'm a husband here. And I just look at our grocery bill. It's gone up at least 30% in the month over month. Really in the past 24 months, easy. I'd say even closer to 40%. And again, that's anecdotal, but I just see it when I just look at the receipts when we go to the grocery store. But go ahead.
Housewives know. Absolutely they do, because they know when they're binging and when they're not, and when the till just keeps ringing. Let's show you this, because fiat debasement is universal. And in fact, it's a number of all the nations that are involved in the debt experiment are heading down. But the particular extremity of fiat debasement has been on the dollar side. Here's 22 of the 25. I just said, give me the top 25 currencies so far this year in the dollar's performance. The dollar is 2.5% below the Thai baht. It's 2.8% below the failing South African rand. It is 3% below the Chinese yuan, 3.2% below the Indian rupee. It's actually behind the Turkish lira, that is the laughing stock of perpetual devaluation this year to date. It's behind the Polish zloty by 4, CAD, which is the neighbor, Canada, 4.3. Egyptian pound is stronger by 4.5%. Just think of the might of that fiscal nation. Australian dollar is 5, New Zealand is 6, Japanese yen is 6.41 up from a year ago. The British pound, which is in a failing state of debt, is almost 7% stronger than the dollar this year to date. The krona is 10. The Mexican peso is 11. Your neighbor peso. That's right, Mexico. Swiss franc is 11. The euro is 11.15. I think that is the, I don't know, actually, the Icelandic krona is probably 11.65. That's the Swedish krona. Then you have the Brazilian real. You know, these are emerging market currencies, 13.8% stronger. Czech krona, Czechoslovakia, Eastern Europe, 14%. Hungarian florent, 14.5%. And the ruble is 42% up. So much for sanction. So much for having no debt and a bunch of gold. That's working out quite well. Now, admittedly, the ruble, obviously, in the initiation of all the hostilities in years before, went from around 40 right up to well over 100 at one point. But it's pulled back immensely. So this is the dollar. So people who think that they're in a melt-up because after taking a 26.5% crash, they're now 7.65% higher than they were just pre-crash. All that's done is you've crossed here with a whole bunch of nasty volatility that would have lost a lot of people along the lows. And if you take that 7.65 and say, well, the average that you're down here, and I did the average, it's close to 9%. You're at about 8.5% that you've fallen behind all these other currencies, many of them emerging nations. This is actually, when you divide the NASDAQ, this is the most bullish chart of all of them. You divide it by the Swiss franc, for example, you haven't even retraced the crash you're around here, and when you divide it by gold, the last high was in 2021, and you are in just a staircasing low like that. So in nominal terms, people are being fooled. The inflation is exceptionally high, and you're being lied to. Just like your labor stats, you're being lied on to on inflation. You're being lied to on unemployment as well. So that might kind of overlap with the jobs created number, but they are different because of participation rate. So, you know, known liars will not lie. And at extreme moments where it's not in their interest for you to know the true state of affairs, they want you to keep calm and carry on so that they can hit you with a bolt of lightning and position themselves in the meantime. They will lie even more, and the lies become ever more perverse. They denied a recession, which quite clearly, after all the revisions, both monthly and annual, was legitimate. And you've probably been bouncing in and out of recession on a sustained basis, and we're likely to go down lower. And then we get this interest rate pivot story. Well, what you're doing, if everyone is expecting, and this is this Powell versus Trump theater that they've created, is allegedly you're saying, well, we're worth a cut because the economy's so bad. Why doesn't anybody understand that? Let's leave it on gold for a moment. Why doesn't everyone understand the economy? They do understand how bad it is. It's hyperstagflation. The growth is contracting for consumer world. Remember, we're in a two-tier world here. Capital, plenty of capital for Palantir and contracts. That all goes on the debt and devalues your country. That's like an extra tax on you. So they are accelerating the server farm in, you know, Amazon, Microsoft for the military industrial complex. They're accelerating spend there. The big, beautiful bill found hundreds of billions, not one, but multiple for the military industrial complex at a time he was talking about balancing the books and bringing the cost down. So it's quite clear when it comes to enslaving you, there's more money than you could ever know. And it just goes on the devaluation dollar bill in terms of overspending on the money that will truly never get paid back. So they are making you pay tax so that you can service interest to a banking cartel that is receiving all your money and is building up debt to, and funding a fascist corporate cultic group to imprison you socially. So you are funding your government to build prisons for yourself in reduced freedom of movement and to pay largesse to that same banking cartel that is coordinated. And as I've mentioned to many people with the recent news, Larry Fink of an asset manager in the US is going to start moonlighting as a quango head in Switzerland, the World Economic Forum, which should tell you that there are no real jobs. There's just theater. They have this agenda. And, you know, if you're in charge of a trillion, trillions of dollars, people's money, you should have no time for extramurals. But no, he's quite happy to be the talking head rolling out the tokenization of assets, which is the installation of a derivative proxy between you and something you own, so that when they purchase those tokens easily on the blockchain, the ownership reverts to them and you have triggered a rental contract on an item you once owned. This is why they want to strip you of absolutely everything that is communism. It's the end of private ownership. But they will say, but companies own stuff. All those companies will be captured, licensed, pays to their political organizations. They're quangos like the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization, as you've seen Bill Gates, who funds all these things, and George Soros. So that's where you're at. That club is circulating money around to advance the agenda because they get richer by doing so. And they're all captive, blackmailable candidates in a dark old group who all have stuff on each other. And I'm here saying, we've got a real, real problem because the criminals of the world run the world. And they're criminals in many, many ways, not just financial and economic. But what do we do? Well, we've got to understand what they're going to do. And my concern for crypto, because you mentioned you wanted to discuss crypto, is that whilst we are in an alt run and it's slow, but the Bitcoin dominance has turned, my concern is that they're going to create so much shock and awe of downside risks that most of retail will be forced sellers to make a rent check, to make a food payment. I think food supply will be throttled, hence their investment in all the farming so that they can control that output, and contaminated, likely. So you really need to get self-reliant. You really need to leave the West, in my opinion. I'll continue to say that, and not for Dubai and the other prison states, but for outside the West specifically, and maybe other BRICS, Indonesia. I'd rather you went to Indonesia, Bali, or, you know, Malaysia, than these other desert prisons that they'll be springing on you. But that's a separate discussion. We've got to prepare. We've got to have optionality. We've got to build wealth, because there will be huge opportunities in collapse and other things running, hence our interest in gold and silver and platinum. And you've got to preserve that wealth, which means you need structures that actually are designed to protect you. And on top of that, you need your third and foremost to point to secure personal freedoms for yourself in a world where totalitarianism, excessive taxation, and the leveling out of people's wealth is a global prerogative of a Marxist cartel.
Yeah, well said. Let's talk about where the opportunities are setting up, or where do you see them according to the charts, but very well said.
We may get our breakouts in gold. So we just said gold's going to be boring for a while. You know, after this strong rejection where we felt this could be it, it could be the move, this was a very strong rejection and we've been retained. We are watching it on two levels, and we are entirely flexible of view. It will do what it will do. We don't control that. So on the one hand, I'll be a buyer here at 3,409. And if it runs through there to the downside, I'll be staying out in terms of buying in any further investment. I'll wait till the low, and I may even take a short. It depends if we have a big crisis where everybody sells everything for a bit. There is a possibility it could break down. This is an upside possibility that I've drawn for you with a draw tool, which would take it up to there. But if it ran there, and if I'll give you specific numbers now, because we've mentioned the 3,409, if it ran that low, which is 3,268, to the downside, we'd become quite concerned that it's going to go down. So we're going to let the market determine the direction. We're not going to overcommit one way or another. We're going to say it's flexible. Hey, if you're going this way, we're going with you. If you're going that way, we're going with you. But we'll have to see. We are in a window where September, October is a very high stress period for the markets. And a lot of chickens tend to come home to roost before Christmas period and that. And we had the August carry trade unwind last year, you may recall. So we're also watching the USD JPY. We're watching debt markets. We particularly noticed the British are in real trouble there. And I promised you the dominance chart as to why I think we are in the alt run. This is the inverted dominance chart, by the way. So I do think the alt run is here that we have turned. I'll just turn the lights on and you'll see that there was a red line broken and that this is a breakout box for us. This is inverted. That means the dominance is going down when you go up. We think you go back into the 40s, having met the 60s, going mid 60s in Bitcoin dominance. So I actually think it's going to go higher than this prediction over here. You might have a pullback, and then we think that happens and you get a breakout, and that we'll see Bitcoin be below into the 20s and then eventually below. So right now, some people will be shocked by that. Maxis won't like that. And here's my thoughts. Bitcoin is almost like a rocket. The alleged moon rocket actually had stages of fuel that had dropped off after it got away from the escape velocity of Earth. In other words, it's an interim measure. You need it now. And then once you get past a certain post, you get to let it go and use for something else. It's possible Bitcoin will exist and continue to coexist. It's possible it might not be needed beyond that. And it could be a big rug pull. Mike's and Michael Saylor has been involved with those before as a tech entrepreneur, and apparently lost $6 billion in a day in a market crash. So, you know, he could be again, quite possibly, but it might survive. The key thing is, initially, as people start to realize what we said in 2020, it's a debt-based collapse. This is the end of the 40-year bull market in what was a bit of a phony reserve asset. They reckon, right, where's everyone going to go? The reserve asset. This is why Bitcoin benefited from this. And this is why the Bitcoin was the digital gold. Gold benefited, and the crypto version of digital gold is this. It should have actually rather been the gold, the Pax gold type things, but never mind. So Bitcoin did rather well. But this turning now points to the future rails system for our money funding system is going to be big. And on that, I would say you want to watch Ethereum, which is the next biggest. I don't think it's going to be the biggest mover, but all the biggest tokens are pre-selected for the job. In the same way, all your top 10 equities in the S&P 500 own 40%. It takes 490 other shares to get the other 60. So that's correct. How you've crowded money into the extremity of the Mag 7, Mag 10, if you want. And in the same way, crypto, the big caps, we always focused on the big caps. We, most of the time, we're talking about the top 10, occasionally the top 15, very rarely anything in the top 25. It needs to be backed by money. Who backs it by money? Who's driving the price discovery? Not retail, institutions. Who knows what's going to be used in the future? Institutions who whisper behind doors that we'll be using this company to do that and that one for that. That's why XRP, XLM, Ethereum, Link, you know, all of these Solana, all these top 10 coins and the ISO validation for the new financial system. And then it'll all be about them in the long term macro, and Bitcoin will fall to at least a 20s, just a 20% type market cap, and maybe below that, and could cease to exist. I'm not saying it won't, but not enough people are pricing that. Because when you release a CBDC, which is the actual money, why do you want to compete with something that has 100% guaranteed limited supply? I'm pretty sure BlackRock will assume custody, let's say, of the Nakamoto wallet, which will be a complete closing of the loop of what was probably an NSA, CIA, Mossad creation in the first place. And the whole fairy tale you sold was just a big convenient lie. And by the time you find out, you're so deep in the new digital prison, it won't matter anymore. You'll realize they lied to you, just like your parents did about Santa Claus. And, you know, that's the play. So I think, well, I'll show you something else with ETH, by the way. If you have a look at ETH-BTC, I was also making this point. We do 360-degree analysis, which is quite important. And if you compare ETH-BTC recently, let's go to the monthly on the same time frame. Let me just switch some of my workings off and take that away. We can even put it there. What you'll notice is that the fall away, in fact, I'm going to remove that. It's just a distraction. If we jump between the Bitcoin dominance, let's go back to Bitcoin dominance. I'm sorry. You will see this, a more regular down leg here. You can see it was kind of regular in the structure. You can see this overall structure here. There's a bit of a low there and then a bit of a top tabletop there. And then down, and now you've just moved to here so far. If I jump back to the ETH-BTC, ETH-BTC is actually outperforming, you might notice. It was slower to come down. It's had a longer topping period. It held on a bit better than the alts that had gone higher, but then it had a real underperformance spill near the end. However, since then, since it's turned, it's gone far more up. You can see that little bit I drew over there for the small amount of the turn in Bitcoin dominance. So we know that the alt part of it, Ethereum has actually got more of the juice in the turn, Bitcoin dominance. So it's a good place for collateral. It will outperform Bitcoin from here on for me for a while. I think it will get back up probably somewhere here. In terms before maybe having a rest, and then we will have the ETH-BTC break that we've all been hoping and waiting for. But this points to the fact that it's dominating the dominance gains out of Bitcoin. So the reduction in Bitcoin's dominance is mainly going to the largest cap below it, which is Ethereum. There are one or two tokens that are outperforming, but the bulk rest are actually not. So to be coming second, third on the top 10 often, and sometimes first. So it's one of the safer holds. However, when I think about everything, remember they want you out and they don't want to make you rich. So I do think if there's a possibility to deflate Jupiter, which is our existing financial system, and squeeze it all into the little beach ball in the corner of my room here, they've got a lot of deflation to do, which is the debt-based collapse, and then a lot of pumpamentals on the crypto side to do to have the suitable market cap for the crypto world. Yeah. And my suspicion is they don't want you to be able to hodl from here on in and become super wealthy. Remember, they want you as ward of state. That's the reset sniper speaking, who knows that the Marxists want Marxism. And they're going to blame it all on failed capitalism. Meanwhile, we don't have capitalism at all. We have a cacocracy of corruption. So given that, they'll probably create the crash on the traditional market, which will initially have a flushing out downside effect to crypto that you must survive. It's quite an important point. And then if you survive that, the inflation, so there will be a small pause in the contagion and the disinflationary events, and they may well pinch your food supply chain, so you'll be caught without meals potentially, or ease of use of shopping centers. Being self-reliant there will be very important. You'll be forced out of your gold to give it away to buy, you know, everyday essentials. You could also need to sell your crypto to make a rent check, for example, or a mortgage payment on an interest rate spike. So the exposure to interest rates is going to be very damaging to most people who are borrowing, which is the Western world, particularly the American world, who have also had the worst debasement of their currency so far. And as I always say, the hegemon nation falls off a much taller ladder than the other nations, even though the other nations will be affected, particularly the Western ones. So it's quite a bit to unpack there, but you can see in crypto, the dominance has moved to Ethereum over Bitcoin for me.
Got it. No, you said something interesting and key. You could see, and I'm not saying you're predicting this, but you could definitely obfuscation, not only in coins, but also in gold, correct?
Well, there's a couple of ways. They might go absolutely totalitarian Looney Tunes, bearing in mind a large part of America is pretty well armed. And might not like that in the libertarian people. They might assess that's too risky. But if they make you poor enough that you are a forced seller on account of other things, in other words, taxes on properties go up, interest rates spike if everybody's borrowed. Now, if you're someone who has no lending in your life, which is what I encourage, doesn't owe anything on his property, it's fully paid, is very well armed in a rural place, has good income, you're very self-reliant, and they don't like that, by the way, and they do want to take you down. Don't get me wrong. They are an attack vector on you. This is one class of people against the rest of the world, and that runs across nations, and they're all Marxist. So they're going to want to take your stuff, but they'll probably do it by sleight of hand through laws, pushing various things through. Lawfare as warfare is very effective. Because you can't shoot anybody. It's by sleight of hand. It's by decree. And any form of justice in courts or fairness doesn't exist. Don't forget, putting about capital gains tax on a devaluing pound when the house just holds its value. They caused your house to go up by debasing your money. In fact, they should be taxed for your salary not going up as fast as how much they've debased your salary. They should be compensating you, not taxing you. But the fact that they can get away with doing that tells you that you're in a corrupt, mercantilist, by their laws, game. Nobody should pay tax on anything that has just held value. But they will try capital gains, and they may even try unrealized capital gains on some sort of national crisis to fight the aliens, to do this, to do that, to defend your country. Otherwise, you're not a patriot. Da, 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 da. Every ruse of social coercion is potential. where they are in a tax scavenge mode because they've run out of money to pay the interest to the cartel of bankers, and they want to reduce the services they give to you. And so there's a full-on right sizing. And the great dilemma now is they're going to take money from everybody and everyone, but the people who owed the interest will still get paid right up until the bankruptcy moment and the new deal. Then you'll be hearing about that catchphrase, the new deal, all over again. But this time, we need to work more together. We need more solidarity as a people. What's for the communist phrase of solidarity? Equitable society, equal, equalizing. There's no such thing as being born equal. None of us are born equal. Equal in rights, in terms of law. None of us are born equal at all in terms of talent, aptitude, energy, DNA, or anything else. We're all very unique, and we should be allowed to be unique, and we should be allowed to ascend to our natural order of our efforts and focus and mentality as per our investment in self and personal growth and our manifestation of positive value-adding pro-capitalist activities. However, you will be punished for that, and you will be continually sheared like the tree that keeps bearing fruit for the others at your great expense. And this is the Marxist agenda. It always has been, always will. And I warn even more darkly that there's never been a major Marxist introduction into a key global bloc that has not been accompanied with a chronic genocide, usually of Christians. It was Orthodox Christians in the Russian Revolution, the single biggest slaughter of humankind by the Ashkenazi Georgians that moved into Russia, seized control of the media, sponsored by the London and Western bankers, and brought about starvation, murder, pillaging, burning of farms, throttling of the food supply chain. So they did the same in China. Don't forget the Opium Wars and the Dutch East India Company and who was behind them and how they did it. All of those nations took beatings, funded by the parasites in the Western banking system. And now they will shapeshift to the other part of the world and bring that to bear upon you. And everyone will say and write, well, you deserve it. You're American. You invaded Iraq. You did this. The average American didn't vote for invading Iraq, Afghanistan, or anything. The warmongers, that are the internationalist mercantilist classes, did all those things while being hosted in your country. And that's what we need to keep reminding people. And that's where we need to keep our heads and not say the Brits were colonizers, the banking cartel that seized all the resources and assets, the gold in South Africa, the diamonds in Kimberley, the cocoa beans in Ghana, the oil in Nigeria, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got to be specific, but at the moment that is all being projected on white Europeans as a white European philosophy, and we are being attacked for it. And it's very rare that one particular ethnicity is being vilified and doesn't end up later at the wrong end of a genocide. There's a real reason behind that. So I want to warn people, they need to understand this isn't light work, people talking smack behind them in media. This is serious framing of a justifiable future murder on a grand scale by a red of claw Marxist class. And you need to get out of the West. You need to get well prepared. You don't want to hunker down. Believe you me, they know you're going to do that. And they have a plan for you. They've been planning for this for a very, very long time. And that's pretty dark. But inside of that, yes, there are going to be opportunities. But I'm not looking forward to this era very much, because most people will listen to me and say I'm a crackpot loon or some other phrase, whatever your catchphrase of the moment, because truth is a revolutionary act in times such as these during Marxism. And we do need gold. We do need silver. We need a lot more than all of that. And we need to reverse the forces of Marxism that have captured the political system in all the Western nations, and I'm afraid the rest of the world. However, better opportunities for survival exist outside of the recognized attack vector, which is being white European directed and Western nation directed specifically.
Yeah, I agree with, I don't think you're a crackpot. I pretty much agree with everything you said, and more people need to not only say it, but act on it in the sense of preparation, and I mean, if the least thing you can do is just getting to know, if you live in the city or the suburbs, as I do, I live in the suburbs here in Atlanta, just start becoming more the very least, planting a garden and getting to know your neighbors, your community around you. That would be what I would say. What would you say to that?
That's a start on a long road of preparation. Yeah. It's a start on a long road of preparation, but having optionality out of the country entirely would prove very, very useful. You don't have to have a lot. I mean, I've sent you images of something you can buy outright property in Bali for less than, you know, not $120,000. That's an absolute palace and beautiful. And you can get residency. You can do a lot of things. Americans need out of America optionality. And a lot of people think they'll just hide in the hills or the Rocky Mountains or whatever. There's drones, there's lawfare, and they will slowly rein everything back in. And then the exit taxes come in. Once they've trapped you in there, you can't get out. Then you can't leave with your assets. They will crash all your markets. It'll be too, you'll then be stuck. I can't afford to sell anymore. You've got to be careful. That's how you get trapped in. You leave it too late. You should have optionality on things. They will squeeze everything right down till there's blood in the streets to levels you never thought possible that will make it literally that you leave with your shirt on your back if you leave it too late, because certain things will become virtually unsellable or incredibly cheap, or if you have any debt on them, there will be nothing left in it, or the rates will be too high. Really watch out if you are in any way carrying debt, which is not locked in. Don't worry, even if it is, there's force majeure and all sorts of other reasons why they can cheat on you, but better to be on fixed deals than on variable. That'll come later. But you don't want banks in your life. They are almost certainly all mark-to-market bankrupt at this point, given the debt-based crisis. Don't forget, Bank of America apparently bought in 2020, roughly around $500 billion in treasuries as collateral. Those things have all lost 50% plus. How can these balance sheets still really be of true value? No one is marking to market in a true sense. And you have record delinquencies on credit cards, subprime cards, housing, on everything. This is a deep recession of consistently dipping in and out of recession of an extended period that's been going on for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it. We can see it. There is clearly inflation. This is hyperstagflation. It's not coming. It's arrived some time ago. Jobs are harder to find. Decent, high-paying jobs are harder to find. You are finding your cost of living is stubbornly high and keeps creeping up, despite them telling you 2.4%. Your CPI came in at 2.4% annualized. That was a 0.2 month on month. The PPI on tariffs, you will have people telling you tariffs aren't inflationary. Tariffs absolutely are initially inflationary, and then they cause a crisis and a collapse, which could be disinflationary in some point in the future, but they are inflationary. Your PPI is 0.9, which is 10.8% per annum. And PPI leads CPI. So you have your manufacturers, that's their cost, and that's what they can sell off, retail price, manufacturing cost price, and their PPI has just jumped at an annualized rate of 10.8%. And you don't think that's going to push your CPI price up in the coming months? It's an absolute shocker. What's happened is tariffs have been absorbed initially by corporates who may have had some inventory that was still at prices prior to the new tariffs, right, that they have sold out at the old prices. Once all inventory is cleared and those taxes that are being levied on American business, tariffs are taxation. It's part of the scavenge mode taxation we warned everybody governments will do against its people. Tariffs are tax on American consumers. They are being punished for having any foreign element in any products that they buy. And unfortunately, America doesn't have the manufacturing sector it once had. Many components in various things, even Ford's and American products, will have components made elsewhere. They're all being tariffed, and those products will go up in price. And the fact that the PPI has gone up virtually 11% on an annualized basis means that the CPI, in all likelihood, will be not very far away from doing approximately the same. And that is double-digit inflation at a time that you are stagnating in growth. You've been in a recession since 2022 and bounced in and out on their liar labor stats that they redefine. And that is hyperstagflation. It's an extreme version of stubbornly high inflation and negative real terms growth for the likes of you and I. Forget the nominal highs. The inflation is ridiculous. Many things are correcting while going up, believe it or not. And the NASDAQ is one of them.
Yeah. So, and we'll end on this. Talk to me about your services and also your community. And maybe I shouldn't call you Francis. I should call you John Galt.
It's good references. You, everybody wants to know, where's John Galt and where is the land? What was the land they called it again?
Galt's Gulch, I think. It's been years since I've read it. So, tell me about your community, because you're one of the few people that's actually building community and doing everything you can to beat the drum on this, as well as to build real wealth for average people. So how can people take advantage of that and reach out to you?
We're very fortunate to be very well supported by many Americans, particularly from states like Florida, Texas, et cetera, and others, by the way, not to leave anyone out. They're great members in our community too. I'm very fond of all our Americans. I've enjoyed visiting America and my UK, et cetera. So we're the English language nations. Those are our countries that we draw from, as well as Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, et cetera. But also from our Europeans and the English speaking nations, the Dutch, the Scandies are big supporters too. Anyway, the point of the matter is there's a worldwide group of people that recognize this, and we want to help them secure wealth, both from investment and long-term position trading, conservatively using HVF method, which is our unique tool, which recognizes through 360-degree analysis what is going to be moving best and is the most favorable for a position hold for us, and at what levels we take off and at what levels we accept we're wrong when we are inaccurate. Which still happens. We're not gods. And at the same time as building that wealth, that secures you real protections for that wealth by virtue of being in jurisdictions or assets held in entities and jurisdictions for which capital gains does not apply and is likely to remain so for the short, medium term in what is a very dynamic environment, must be said. And then with all of that, because that's all about money and protecting money, securing freedoms of activity that give you real arbitrage if your country, yourself, you find yourself in, actually goes bad with weird laws and turns real cranky. You can go somewhere else where it's not quite as tight, not quite as bad, where you will have home and you can move or live or at least see out difficult periods if certain nations commit to wars or anything else, or face internal terrorism. Who knows all the attack vectors that can be brought to bear? But there is real optionality in other nations which are not going to face the same degree of attack vector. And I think that's a very useful positioning that most Americans should wish and want for if they recognize that history has shown us that the Marxists don't mess around when it comes to taking over, stripping people of their assets and culling the population. It's in the history books. You should take it seriously. You shouldn't be gagging for the fight. It's not a fight worth having. You should be gagging to save yourself and your family and put yourself in low risk situations and ensure you see your way through this period.
Got it.
And Sniper YouTube channel, by the way, sorry. And the Crypto Sniper, if you want the crypto, and the same on X, if you want to engage further.
Yeah, I have a link to all of that in the show notes here. And I hope all of my viewers and listeners really take advantage of that and take advantage of Francis and his community that's really quite large. And to all my viewers and listeners off, Francis is one of those people that I have the immense, just an immense amount of admiration and respect for. He's been great to me. He's very, very gracious. He's been very gracious to me. But you need more than that too. You need expertise. And he is a master technician. And I agree with if not everything in his worldview, most of his worldview. So thank you so much for your time, Francis.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you for giving us your platform. And at the same time, to everyone listening, cheer up within all of that. You were born for these times. You have the skill. Take action, go out, love, live, walk in nature, do other things as well. Don't let this situation get you down. Remind yourself, we are all spirits having an experience here. And there, you may have chosen interesting time to have your human experience, but that's because you qualified to do it. And yeah, keep your spirits up and enjoy the life experience. And we hope to see some of you down by our channel on the other side as well.
Well said, and that's a great end note. I'll link to everything as I always do, Francis, and I am looking forward, or maybe I'm not, but I'm looking forward to our talk the next time. And it's always, always great to have you on.
Bye for now.